All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So we left off at the Mishnah. Today's daf is Kuf Ches 108. We left off at the Mishnah Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. So writes the Mishnah, Ezu hi kitana. Ezu hi kitana shetzvicha lemayin. What is the case of a kitana who has to do mir? In other words, what the Gemara is now asking is, under what circumstances is there the possibility of miyun? When does the possibility of miyun exist? To which the Gemara answers, which the Mishnah answers, kol she'si'uha ima v'achel l'da'ata. It's only a case where the mother or brother married her off l'da'ata, with her knowledge. I will say now, there are two things that the Mishnah is expressing over here. Number one, that miyun only exists in a rabbinic marriage that is affected by her mother or her brother. Let's say if the father marries her off, which is kedusha ketana d'oraisa, there is no possibility of miyun under those circumstances. She can get divorced, husband could divorce her with the get, but lamais again, there's no miyun. So here, it has to be the mother or brother, rabbinic marriage, and the daita, she has to be knowledgeable with. She has to be knowledgeable, meaning, let me say it, she has to give her consent, right? The idea over here is that they're marrying her off with her consent. If they married her off without her consent, she doesn't need miyun. Why doesn't she need miyun? Because there's no marriage at all. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus Omer, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus said, any young girl who cannot go ahead and guard the object of her kiddushin, meaning that if she's so young, let's say the husband gives her a ring, or the husband gives her something else, if she's so young that she cannot guard the object that he gave her for kiddushin, then she does not need miyun. Again, why doesn't she need miyun? Because it's not an effective marriage. If she's that young that she can't even watch over a basic item, then at the end of the day, there is no obligation of miyun. Rabbi Elazar Omer, in ma'ase ketana klum, ela kimefuta. Rabbi Elazar says that anything you do with a ketana, right? Anything you do with a ketana, at the end of the day, is halachically irrelevant. Meaning, so Rabbi Elazar seems to be saying that if anyone other than the father marries off the minor daughter, such an act is halachically irrelevant. And rather, ela kimefuta, it's just like the girl has been seduced, and there is not an effective marriage that has been created over here. So the Gemara says, Bas Yisrael Kohen lo sochal betruma. So, for example, if let's say the girl is a Bas Yisrael and she married a Kohen, this marriage of a Kitana will not allow her to eat truma. Bas Kohen li Yisrael tochal betruma. And if she is a Bas Kohen, her quote-unquote marriage as a Kitana to a Yisrael will not preclude her from eating truma, i.e. she can still continue to eat the truma of her father's home. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, kol ha-kavashim in ha-ish, Kiluhu ishto. Now, we'll define this line in the Gemara. Any time that the akava, the ikuv, the hold up, so to speak. Now, hold up is the wrong word, but any time that the we'll call it the issue is from the side of the husband, then kiluhu ishto. It's as if she is his wife. Kol akava she'ino min ha'ish. But any time that the hold up or the issue is not from the man, kiilu eino ishto, it's as if she is not his wife. And Rashi points out that we'll define that phrase in the Gemara itself. Amar Rav Yehuda, Avraham Amar Levi Masnisa, Tana, Barishona hayu kosvin get miyun. It was like in the beginning, when a girl would do miyun, they would write like a miyun document, a get miyun. And what would be in the get miyun? Lo ra'ina be, they would write, I don't want you. Velo tzavina be, I don't desire you. Veles ana baya lehisnas bale, and I have no desire to remain married to you. Kevan dechazu denafesh dibura, once they saw again that there were a lot of words in this particular document, right? Once they saw that this was becoming a little bit verbose, so what happens? Amri tapav kofches, amri asi la'achlufei begita. They were concerned that people would come to confuse this with a get. Rashi says, sheikh tevenu sofer bor beget gerush and lagarish po'isha. So I say they were concerned that they would get this confused with a get. Now the problem of confusing this get miyun with a regular get is obviously there are no qualifications for a get miyun. Anyone could write it, could be written in any particular way. So they were afraid that if anyone could write the get miyun, people might assume that anyone could write a regular get as well. Therefore, again, takinu biyom ploni miyana plonis pasploni ba'anfa. And therefore, therefore they instituted that instead of writing a get miyun, what they would do is they would write a shtar that attested to the fact that miyun actually occurred. So they wrote that on so-and-so date, so plonis bas ploni went ahead and did miyun with a particular man. Okay, so we'll say, so that's the get miyun, that's the document of miyun. Tan Rabbanan. We have a brace that supports this. Ezohi miyun, what is miyun? I mean, we'll say, how does one affect miyun? Amra, if she beploni bali. If she says, I do not want to remain married to my husband. If she bikidushin shekidshuni imi vachi, I do not want the kiddushin that was affected for me by my mother or my brother. Yes, so Rabbanan says, so that's simple miyun. That's simple miyun. I don't want to marry to my husband. I don't want the marriage that was created for me by my mother and my brother. Yes, Sir Al-Kain. Furthermore, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, afilu yoshevez ba'apiryon, v'holeches mi beis aviha lebeis baila. Furthermore, even if she's going from her father's home, ultimately to her husband's home, and she says, I don't want... on the edge. All right. So we'll remember, all of these are examples now that we're giving of proper miyun. So the Gemara says, what's another example? Okay. What's another example of miyun? So she's going ahead and, I feel yoshevis ba'apiryon. So we'll say apiryon is the bridal canopy. So let's say she's literally being taken on the... Thank you. She's being taken on the bridal canopy. Mamish being led to the chuppah. She's being led to the chuppah. And what happens? And she's being taken from her father's home to her husband's home. And she says, "Ef sheba ploni baili." While she's on the wedding canopy. So what happens? Thank you. While she's on the wedding canopy. So she says, I don't want this marriage. Zehu miyun. This is also called miyun. Yes, sir. Akin Amr Rabbi Yehuda afilu hayu archin misubin bebeis baila. Even if there were guests in her husband's home, v'hi omedes umashke aleim, and she's sitting there serving them, v'amar lahem efshi b'ploni baili. By the way, I really don't want to be married to this guy, right? Can I offer you another piece of chicken, right? But I don't want to be married to him. Harehu miyun. So this is miyun. Yeser akin amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, afilu shigra baila itzel chenvini lahavilo chayfetz mishalo. Furthermore, even if the husband sent her to the shopkeeper to go ahead and bring him a particular chayfetz, a particular object, va'amran, she says to the chenvini, e'ef she beploni baili, I do not want to be married to my husband, ein lecha miyun gadol mizeh. There is no greater miyun than this. In other words, what the Gemara is saying over here, as you see, it's clear, is that any circumstance in which she articulates her lack of desire to remain married to this man ultimately affects miyun. And of course, the interesting part is, even if she expresses this desire within a marital context itself, right? She's serving the guest. She's going for her husband on an errand. She's being led to the chuppah. Any of these statements ultimately, again, are enough to affect me.
Look at Facebook.
Right, there you go. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus says, Kol tinokes. Remember, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus said that any girl who's incapable of watching the object with which kiddushin is affected, ultimately is too young to be able to affect any level of marriage, and therefore marriage to her is halachically irrelevant. So Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel, halachic Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. So we'll say, remember, the lashon was kol tinokes she'enu yechola lishmor kiddushah, any girl who is incapable of watching the object with which she did kiddushin, eina tzricha lemayin, does not require miyun to get out of the marriage for the simple reason that lemaisa, no marriage is actually affected. So the Gemara says, Tana kitana shlo miyana va'amda v'nasa. So it says, an interesting case. If you have a kitana that didn't do miyun, so let's say a kitana was married to one person, and then what happened? She didn't do miyun with the first husband, va'amda v'nises, and she got up and she married another man. Okay, so she was married to the first one, didn't do miyun, and then got up and married a second. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Mesera amru nisueha hein miuneha. So this is very interesting. Rabbi Yehuda ben Mesera says her marriage to the second man is effectively what? The miyun to the first husband. Okay, very logical. She didn't articulate it, but obviously the fact that she's marrying the second man indicates to us that what? That she doesn't want that first marriage. So therefore, her marriage to the second, ultimately, again, is the miyun to the first. See, bailahu, Gemara asks the kasha, niskatsha mahu. So Rabbi says, that's in a case where she mamish does nisuin with the second one. What happens if she just did kiddushin with the second one? Does kiddushin with the second husband constitute a miyun with the first? So tashma, so let's learn this. Kitana shalo miyana va'amda v'niskatsha. So a kitana that didn't do miyun, and she got up, right? Meaning she didn't do miyun with her first husband, and she did kiddushin with her second husband. That ultimately her kiddushin with the second is effectively the miyun with the first. Did the rabbis argue on Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira or not? If you want to say that they argued b'kiddushin or afilu b'nisuin, did they only argue in a case of kiddushin, meaning when she did kiddush with the second man, or did they argue even when she did nisuin with the second man? The imtim solomar pligi, and if afilu b'nisuin, if you want to say they argue even in the case of nisuin, halacha kamoso, in halacha kamoso, does halacha Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira or not? And if you say is that true in only nisuin or even in a case of kiddushin? Tashma, am Rabbi Huda, amar Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Huda ben Beseira. So what's it we learned in the Brayso? Rabbi Huda said name is Shmuel, halacha falls Rabbi Huda ben Beseira. Halacha michlal de pligi, and it tells that the halacha, whenever you need to make a statement that the halacha follows Rabbi Huda ben Beseira, so that halacha that means that when it has to make that statement, we infer from that someone argues on that. The akati tipus rabbos says we've answered question number one. The rabbanon do argue on Rabbi Huda ben Beseira. That's number one. The akati dibaylocha, but we're still left with the question: to have a nisiba meikara odilam mekatsha is so. What Rabbi Huda ben Beseira says that when If a girl, a ketana, is married to a man, and then she does nisuin with another man, so that second nisuin constitutes miyun for the first. That's the story of Rabbi Huda ben Beseira. The shaila now said, now we know now that Rabbanan argue on that. The shaila is that Rabbi Huda ben Beseira only make that statement when she does nisuin with the second man, or is that true even if she only does kiddushin with the second man? So the Gemara says, was left with the question, is it only in the case of where she did nisuin with the second, or even if she just did kiddushin? Tashma, so once we have another braisa, the kalsi, the avdon, imrod, the daughters-in-law of avdon, literally imrod, rebelled against their husband. So once we had this maisa a little bit earlier in the Gemara. So they went out and they rebelled against their husband. So they refused, and normally, moredes normally refers to a wife who refuses to engage in any kind of physical intimacy. But mordos in this particular imro means they wanted out of their marriages. They just, shadar rabbi, zugate drabanalim of the kinu. So Rabbi sent a pair of tamidi chachamim to investigate what was going on. Amri lehu nashi. So what happened? So women saw the wife, Avdon's daughters-in-law were standing with another group of women. Amri lehu nashi. These other women said to the two daughters-in-law, chazu gavraichu deka'asu. Now they thought that the two men approaching were the husbands of the two daughters-in-law, when in fact it wasn't the two husbands, it was the two tamidi chachamim. So the women said to the daughters-in-law of Avdon, look, your husbands are coming. Amrulei, the daughters-in-law said, Nehavi gavraichu didachu, let them be your husbands. Amar Rebbe, ein lecha miyun gadol mizeh. And Rebbe said again, this is obviously a case where they were kitanos. And ultimately, again, Rebbe says, there is no greater statement of miyun than this. The fact that these girls said, let them be your husbands, that in and of itself is a statement of miyun. My love, the havin is siba. Are we not talking about a case over here where there was nisuin? Lo, dahave mekatshe kiddushay. No, rather, there could also be a case where there was just kiddushin, to which the Gemara answers, v'halocha k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, v'afilu b'nisuin dekama. So we'll say, halocha l'ayis Rabbi Yehuda says, therefore, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, that it is true that at the end of the day, if you go ahead, if a woman marries another man, that is considered to be miyun for the first, and that is true whether she had kiddushin or nisuin with the first, or whether she has kiddushin and nisuin with the second. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar Omer. Correct, correct. That again, it's interesting. The Mishnah didn't say that, but from this discussion, it sounds clear that she used the regular mechanisms of marriage. So now, remember, Rabbi Elazar was the one who said that ein maise ketana klom, that literally anything, any marriage that is affected with a ketana is meaningless. This is talking about not when the father married her off, but when anyone else married her off. So such a marriage is not effective. He said that if a man lives with her, it's as if he seduced her, and not ultimately there's a marriage. So Rabbi Yehuda says to Shmuel, Chozrani akol tzladi chachamim, I've examined all of the rabbinic opinions, v'lomatzasi adam shisha midosu b'ketanik Rabbi Elazar, and I have not found anyone who is as consistent in his shitos when it comes to a ketana, like Rabbi Elazar, sha'asa Rabbi Elazar ki metayeles imo b'chaser, because again Rabbi Elazar says that essentially if a ketana marries a man, so it says it's like she's strolling with him in the chatzar, in the courtyard, va'omedes micheiko, and literally she stands up from resting on his chest, v'toveles va'ocheles b'chumah, she goes, meaning if there were relations, she gets up, she goes to the mikvah, because of the tumah of just regular relations, va'ocheles b'chumah la'erev, and if she's a bas kohen, she's permitted to eat the chumah of her father's home in the evening. In other words, that Rabbi Elazar holds that there's absolutely no marital bond between the ketana and this man. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, ain't first wide line, ain't masse ketana klum, the actions of a ketana are meaningless, ve'in bala zakai lo b'mitziyaseh ulamaseh yadeha, and because the actions of a ketana, because marriage to a ketana is halachically meaningless, therefore her husband is not entitled to keep whatever it is that she finds, ve'lo b'maseh yadeha, nor is he entitled to keep her earnings, ve'lo b'hafares nidareha, nor is he entitled to go ahead and null her vows, ve'ino yarsha, he does not inherit her, ve'in mitamela, he cannot become tummy for her, if he's a kohen. Klalo shel davar, the overarching principle of the matter here, is eino ki ishto lechol davar. She is not his wife at all, except elo shetzvicha miyun. Except, she's not his wife at all, except that she requires miyun to get out of the marriage. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, baila, no, it's not true. When you marry a ketana, it is an effective marriage, albeit, again, if it's not the father who does it, but it's the mother or brother, it'll only be rabbinically effective, but effective nevertheless. Therefore, baila zakai mitziyasa, her husband is entitled to whatever it is that she finds, umase de into her earnings, uba afaras and the rabbi, with annulling her vows, fiyarshan, he inherits her, umitamala, and if he's a queen, he becomes tame. For her klalo shel davar, the principle is, harehi ki ishto l'chol davar, Elish Yotzei B'miyun. She is his wife in all regards, except that what? Except that Lamaisa, she can leave the marriage with Miyun. Amar Rebbe, Rebbe says, Nivrin Divrei Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Yoshua. It would appear that Rabbi Eliezer Shita is true. I see the correctness of Rabbi Eliezer Shita over Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer Hishva Midosa Biktana, because Rabbi Eliezer is consistent in his shitos regarding a ketana, that marriage to a ketana is halachically irrelevant. Rabbi Yeshua chalak, but Rabbi Yeshua makes distinctions. My chalak, what distinction does he make? So out the following, I ishtohi iti baiget, because we'll say, because Rabbi Yeshua is inconsistent, because the one, Rabbi Yeshua says that it's a real marriage. Well, if it's a real marriage, then how should you dissolve it? With a get. And yet Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you could dissolve it with miyun. So he's inconsistent. One second, Rabbi Elazar Nami, and Rabbi Elazar also says, "I lav ishtohi miyun nami lo tiboy." But Rabbi Elazar is also inconsistent. Why? Because if it's true, like Rabbi Elazar says, that what? That there is no marriage to a ketana, then she shouldn't even require miyun to get out of the marriage. Yet she does. Which Rabbi Elazar answers, "Ella bichtei teipuk." To which Rabbi Elazar answers, "Look, at the end of the day, there was some level of connection between this man and woman, and there was some appearance of marriage. Even if halachically it's not relevant, there was some appearance. Because there was some appearance, therefore what? She can't just walk away with nothing. There has to be some type of process that dissolves this marriage at the end of the day, and therefore lemaisa bless you, and therefore lemaisa, that will be miyun." Fine. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. So also remember, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was the one who said this strange wording in the Mishnah that kol akava shehim in aish, any time that the akava, how does our school translate akava? Obstruction. What is it?
Obstruction.
Oh, good. Fine. When the obstruction is from him, when the obstruction or the impediment or the obstacle is from him, shehimina ish kilu ishto, it's as if she is his wife. But anytime that the obstruction or the impediment is not mina ish, she's not his wife. So what's the pshat here? Says the Gemara, hechi dami akava shehimina ish vakava sheina mina ish. What are these cases? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, tavua li nasei. If let's say tavua li nasei, va'amra machmas ploni baili, zohi akava shehi min ha'ish. If someone propositions her to marry him, Rashi says tavuli nasei, ba'oda tachtov. She's married to this man. The Ketana is married to this man. And what happens? While she's married to this man, another man comes along and proposes to her. So, and what does she say? Vinis akva mi linasei b'shvilo. Again, so back to the Gemara. So she's married. Ketana's married to a man. Another man comes along and asks him to marry her. Asks her to marry him, and she says, "I can't." Machbas ploni baali. I'm married already. Zohi akava she'ina min ha'ish. This is called an obstruction that is not from the man. Meaning, I will say, in this case, a woman is pledging her allegiance to the first marriage, and therefore, again, that is not a miyun. On the other hand, Machmas b'nei Adam she'inan mihuganinli. However, again, this is interesting. If the Ketana is married to the first guy, and then a second guy comes along and says, "Will you marry me?" and she says, essentially, "I'm really waiting for a better offer," then a statement like that indicates that what? That in fact she does not want the first marriage, and she's not remaining in the first marriage because of an allegiance to her husband, but rather, again, because she has not found the next suitable individual. Zohi akava she'ina minaish. This is called an obstruction that's not from the man, and therefore, again, that constitutes miyun. Abaye bar avin v'rav chani. So we'll say, so according to this first approach, so what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is making a distinction between is when she stays in the marriage because of the husband, then that doesn't constitute a miyun. Rather, but if she doesn't stay in the marriage because she has not yet found someone else, but it's clear that her intention is to get out of the marriage, that could constitute a miyun. Abaye, on the other hand, abaye bar avin, rav chanina bar avin, the amrit harbayu. On the other hand, These other opinions say the following. Damri Tarvayo, Nasan Laget, Zohi Akava Shehi Min Ha'ish. If he gave her a get, so this is an obstruction, so to speak, that is Min Ha'ish, and therefore again, Vahu Asra Bikrovo Seha, Vi Asra Bikrovav, Upasla Minakuna. So if a man gave his Ketana wife a get, so she becomes prohibited in his relatives, he becomes prohibited in her relatives, and she becomes Psula Min Hakuna. Mianabo, however, again, if she does miyun, zohi akava she'ina min ha'ish. This ultimately, again, is a quote-unquote obstacle that is not from him. V'hu moter b'krovos. Therefore, he is permitted to marry her relatives. V'hi moteres b'krovav. She is permitted to marry his relatives. V'lo pasla min ha'kuhuna. And she is not possible from the kuhuna. So the Gemara says, "Ay hakatani l'kamana m'ma'enes b'ish. So we'll say, so according to this approach, what Rabbi Elazar is coming to teach is like this. Anytime the akava is mina'ish. Now what does it mean, the obstacle? Meaning anytime that the marriage is dissolved essentially by the man. Now there's only one way for the man to dissolve the marriage, and that's how? Through a get. So again, he's usher and her relative, she's usher and his relatives, and she's usher the kuna. Anytime the marriage is dissolved from her, i.e. mion, then again, he's permitted in her relatives, she's permitted in his relatives, which of course makes sense because Min retroactively annuls the marriage. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand. Hakatani v'kamon. We're going to learn this, Rabbi Osai, explicitly in the next Mishnah. Hamema enes le'ish, if a woman does miyun, hu muter b'krovo se'avi, hi muter es b'krovov, v'lo pasla min ha'kuhuna. She is permitted to his relatives, he's permitted to her relatives, and she is not pasla from the kuna, she's not a divorcee. Nasan la'get, but if he gives her a get, hu asur b'krovo se'avi, asur b'krovov, upasla min ha'kuhuna. But yet, again, but if he gives her a get, he can't marry her relatives, she can't marry his relatives, and she is psula min ha'kuhuna. So what the Gemara is asking over here is, I don't understand. Why is it? We're going to learn that in the next Mishnah, literally the next line. So that's going to be taught in the next Mishnah. Why does Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov have to say this in the previous Mishnah? To which the Gemara says, Perushe Kamefarish. No, because we'll say, understand that the way Mishnayos are broken up now is not necessarily the way they originally broken up. What the Gemara now is suggesting is this next Mishnah that we're about to read is in fact related to the previous Mishnah. And this Mishnah that we're right about to read is actually a parish, is a running commentary on the previous Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov made a statement, and now the Mishnah that we're about to start is what explains that statement of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And with that, let's begin that Mishnah. Okay, says the Mishnah. Hamema enes v'ish. If a girl does miyun, who mutter bekrovasel? He is permitted to marry her relatives. He mutter bekrovav, and she is permitted to marry his relatives. V'lo pasla menakuhuna. She is not pasla menakuhuna. Nasan la get. If he gives her a get, who aser bekrovasel? V'yasura bekrovav. So if he gives her a get, then ultimately, again, he can't marry her relatives. She can't marry his relatives. And obviously, if she receives a get, she is considered to be a divorcee. And therefore, lemaisa, again, she can't marry a kahuna. Fine. Nasan laget. Now, mostly, these are some interesting cases. Nasan laget v'hechzira. If he gave her a get, these are all cases by kitana. So man gives his kitana wife a get, v'hechzira. And then what happens? He remarries her. Okay. He remarries her, and then what happens? Mi'anabo, and then she does miyun. V'niseis la'achar, and then she marries someone else. Okay, so you're following this? So Reuven's married to Kitana. Reuven divorces Kitana. Reuven then remarries Kitana. Kitana then does miyun. Kitana then marries Shimon. Okay? V'nis amala onis garsha, and then Shimon dies or divorces her. Muteres lachzor lo. She can go back to Reuven. She can go back to Reuven. Now, of course, you understand the novelty already in this ruling. Normally, the halacha is you can't be machzer grusha. So if you divorce a woman, you could remarry her. But if she marries someone else in the interim, right, you cannot remarry her after that second marriage. But remember, again, in this case over here, so the marriage to Reuven is not ending with divorce. The marriage to Reuven is ending how? Or at least marriage number two to Reuven is ending how? With miyun. So again, so therefore, when Shimon dies, she is permitted to go back to Reuven. Miteres lachzor lo. However, mianalo, if Reuven is married to Kitana, and she does miyun with him, and then what happens? Vechzira, and then he remarries her, and then nasa laget, and then he gives her a get, he divorces her. This is from the second round. Venisis lachzor, then after receiving the get, she marries Shimon, and then venis amalon iskarsha, then she's either widowed or divorced from Shimon. Asura lachzor lo. She may not go ahead and return to Reuven. She can't remarry Reuven. Why? Zakla, because this is the principle. Get achar miyun, asura lachzor lo. Because I will say, if there is get achar miyun, so we should just have in mind, I forgot to mention this, we should just have in mind that our learning should be as a refuah shleima for Meir ben Rachel, who's having significant surgery this morning. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, he'll have a complete and enduring refuah. Zaklal, this is the rule. Get achar miyun, asura lachzor lo. So this is the rule, that any get after miyun, she may not return to husband number one. Miyun achar get, muteras lachzor lo. But if there's miyun after a get, she can return. So we'll say again, remember, so just to illustrate those two cases again, Reuven's married to Kitana, divorces her with a get, then remarries her. She then does miyun. After she does miyun from her second marriage to Reuven, she then goes ahead and marries Shimon. Shimon dies or divorces her. The halacha is she's permitted to go back to Reuven. Right? Why? Because what ended their marriage was a miyun. Now we'll discuss the mechanics of this. It appears that what ends up happening is that the miyun itself, the miyun almost negates the original get that was given, and therefore it's not considered to be a case of machzir grushas, of remarrying the woman you divorced, because essentially you were never married to this woman. On the other hand, if Reuven's married to Kitana, she does miyun, then he remarries her, and then he gives her a get, then she marries Shimon. Shimon dies or divorces her. She wants to go back to Reuven. That she can't do, because that would be an issue ultimately again of machzir grushas. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, right, kol shiyotze mele beget, asur lachzor lo. Rashi says, afa pi shiyotze sami shal achra memiyun, lo batle legita dide. So, okay, we'll see this in the Gemara. So, Gemara goes weiter. Hamima enes pi'ish v'niseis la'acher, v'girsha la'acher, umiyonabo, la'acher, v'girsha. So we'll say, listen to this. So in this case, a woman does miyun with a man, and then what happens? She marries someone else. And then she marries another man, and she's divorced from him. And then she goes in and she marries another man, and she does miyun with him. And then she marries another man, and she's divorced from him. Zaklal, kol sheyotzeh mena beget, asur lachzor lo. So we'll say, here's the klal. Any situation where a marriage is dissolved by a get, so you cannot go back, she cannot go back to that husband once she's been married to someone else. But miyun, however, if the marriage was dissolved by miyun, then muteres lachzor lo. Then she is permitted to go back to that original husband even if she subsequently married someone else. So Shabbos is going to see is essentially just stating the same principle as we espoused before. Says the Gemara, Alma, Asi Miun, Umevatel Get. Now I will say, so let's analyze this case for a bit. So remember, the case that we had was Reuven is married to Kitana. Reuven is married to Kitana. He dissolves the marriage with a get. He gives her a get. Then they decide they want to reconcile, they want to remarry. He marries her again a second time. Now this time she dissolves that marriage through how? Through Mion. After that, she marries Shimon. Shimon then either dies or divorces her, and now she wants to go back and marry Reuven. So what the Mishnah says, she's permitted to do so. Now, Rabbi will say, now, what's the logic behind that? The logic behind that has to be that the Mion, which was the last thing she did, the last way in which she dissolved the marriage, the Mion essentially is Mevatel the Get. Because if the Mion is not Mevatel the Get, then what? Then Reuven cannot remarry her because that's an issue of Machzir Grushaso. So it has to be that the Mion itself comes along and is Mevatel the previous Get. Alma, Asi Mion, or Mevatel Get. Or many, but the Gemara is the Kasha. Hamima enes be'ish v'niseis la'acher. So we'll say, but what happens if a man went ahead and did me? If a woman did miun, and then she married someone else, v'girsha la'acher, and then she married, and then she went ahead and she divorced that man, u'mionabo la'acher, and then what happens? She does miun with another man, v'girsha, and then she divorced them also. Ze'aklal. So we'll say she had a number of different marriages. Some ended with a get, some ended with miun. Ze'aklal. Here's the rule. So we'll say any situation where the man divorced the woman with a get, she may not go back to him. Now we'll say, let's qualify that statement. She may not go back to him when? After she's married someone else. Any situation where the marriage was dissolved by a get, she may not go back to that marriage even after the subsequent marriage dissolved. But any situation where the marriage was dissolved through miun, when the next marriage dissolved, she's permitted to go back to that original husband. Alma, Lo asi miun de chavrei ubatel gita didei. So I'll say, what do we see from here? That the miun of her friend, or the miun of the next husband, I should say, not a friend, but the miun of the other husband is not mevatel the get of the first husband. In other words, let's say she married Reuven, and Reuven gave her a get, okay, and now she married Shimon. She married Shimon, and she did miun with Shimon. So what's the halacha? The halacha is she may not go back and marry Reuven. Now, we could have made the cogent argument that should be permitted. Why? Because when she does miun with Shimon, it's halachically like what? Like she was never married. If that's the case, it's not a case of machzir grushaso. But kamash malan, we don't say that the miun of husband number two blunts or negates the impact of the get of husband number one. Right, so miun, the miun of one husband will not blunt the impact of the get of the first husband.
In all these cases of the miun, we're assuming that the father or some other relative remarried, or even the second case.
Not father, mother or brother. Correct. That is correct. These are all cases of kiddushin ketanim midrabanan, which mother or brother are marrying her off. So the Gemara says the following: I'm going to do them Shmuel Tavra. This is a steer. This is a contradiction. Misha Shanazulo Shanazu. It must be that we have two different opinions because, again, this is a contradiction because on one hand, we're saying that Miun is Mevatel the Get, and on the other hand, we're saying that Miun is not Mevatel the Get.
Hold on.
Amarava. Umay Kusha. I don't understand why you're asking that question. V'dilma, after the Rakshak Yivanta, V'dilma, Miun Didei Mevatel Get. Miun Didei Mevatel Get Didei. Miun de chavrei lo mevatel gita didei. I don't understand. Instead, why don't we just say like this? No, miun is mevatel get. But when is miun mevatel get? When it's the same husband, right? So again, if a husband dissolved the marriage twice, once through a get and a second time through miun, that second dissolution through miun will essentially dissolve the previous get that was given. But why would you assume that when you have two distinct marriages that the miun of one would blunt the get of the other? To which the Gemara says, So when you have the same husband, his miun will blunt the effects of the previous get that he gave. However, miun de chavrei lo mevatel gita didei. But the miun done to one husband will not be mevatel the get given by the other. Umay shna miun de chavrei de lo mevatel gita didei. And why is it again that the miun, the miun of the chaver, the miun of one husband, will not be mevatel the get of the other? Aidi demakeres beremizosav ukritzosav ozel mishabesh umaisa. So also, this is actually very interesting. So what are we concerned about? Why is it that the mirin of one husband will not be mevatel the get of the other? Because also, what we're concerned about is like this, that since she has a connection with the first husband, so you could see, like, literally translated, it means Aidi, since demakeres, that she recognizes remizosav ukritzosav, his gesture and his gestures and the moving of his lips, ozel mishabesh, she'll go and he'll reconcile with her, umaisila, and he'll convince her to come back and be married to him. So we'll say, essentially, if you say that miun of husband number two blunts the impact of the get given to husband number one, what we're concerned about is that husband number one is going to come back and try to win back his wife and urge her to do miun with husband number two in an effort to come back with husband number one. And Chazal did not want that, because as much as technically speaking, that is not the Isur Doraisa Machzer Grusha, so Chazal still felt that such a situation like that is immoral. Therefore, Chazal said that once you divorced your wife, if she had another marriage, even if that marriage is going to be dissolved with miun, and therefore, technically speaking, as if the marriage never occurred, you still can't remarry her. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand. Miun dide nami, lo lebatel gita dide. But I don't understand. You could say the same thing even with just one person, that the miun that she did with him, this is all with husband number one, should also not be mevatel with get with husband number one. The aidi demakeres berinizosav ukrisosav azel meshabesh umaisila. Because since ultimately, if you look at Rashi, Rabbo say, Rashi says over here, Rashi says, Ozel Mishab, actually, let's actually not yet. So you can say the same thing even by one person, that Da'aydi Demakeres Bermizosov Ukritzosov, since she recognizes his gestures and the movements of his lips, Ozel Mishabish Umaisila, he will go ahead and he will convince her to come back to him, to which the Gemara says that's not going to work. Hakvar Shabsha Velo Ishbisha. Bepashas, he's already tried to do this, and yet again it has not worked. But rather, the Gemara says, if you're going to raise a kasha, the question is on the case of chavre. Why? Because ultimately, if she did miun, and then ultimately he remarried her, v'nasan la get, and he gave her a get, v'niseis la'acher, and then she married someone else, v'nis armela onis gersha, and she was divorced or widowed from the second marriage, asur lachzolo, she may not return to husband number one. So this is the case of where it was miun and then a get. Get was the last thing. So if that's the case, then when second marriage falls apart, she can't return to husband number one. Time of v'nis armela onis gersha, so the reason she can't return to husband number one is because she was widowed or divorced, but we can infer from that if she did miun with husband number two, then what? Muvteres lachzolo, that she would be permitted to return to him. Alma, therefore, what do you see from here? Asi miun dechavre umevatel gita didei. Therefore, what do you see from here? You see from here that the miun that is done in a second marriage, in fact, does have the ability to be mevatel the get, of the first. Or mini, but yeah, raise the cash. So what's that? According to this inference over here, the reason she can't return to husband number two is because she was widowed or divorced. The inference from that is what? That had she done mean with husband number two, even though marriage number one was dissolved through a get, that she would be permitted to go back to him. On the other hand, or mini hamama enes biish, if a woman does miun, v'niseis la'achar, and she married another man, v'girsha la'achar, and he divorced her, umi anabo. And then let's say she went ahead and she did another marriage, she and miun. Zaklal, koshi yata samimeno beget, asur lachzolo, b'miun muteres lachzolo. The klal is that anytime she left the marriage through a get, and there was a subsequent marriage, even if that subsequent marriage was dissolved through miun, she still can't return to that husband. But anytime that a marriage was dissolved through miun, she can return to that husband. Alma, lo asi miun dechavre umavatel gita didei. Therefore, we see from here that what? That the miun of one's friend, meaning the miun of a subsequent marriage, does not blunt the effects of a previous get. So we'll say we have a contradiction. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Tavra, you're right, this is a contradiction. Misha shanazu, lo shanazu. I must say that there are two different opinions. So we'll say the easiest way to dissolve a contradiction is to say it's not a contradiction, it's a difference in opinion. Difference of opinion. Ula Amar Ula says, Kigo, no, what's the case? Sheshalsha begitin, demichsie kigidola. I will say, so, or on the other hand, Ula says that what's the case? Well, so if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Sheshalshala begitin, Shotzia shalosh pamim. Shovzia Shalosh Pamim Beget, that what happened? She was divorced from three marriages with a get. The Mechsia Kigidola. Because it was at this point in time, once she has been divorced from three different marriages with a get, then what? She has the appearance of being a Gidola. She has the appearance of being an adult woman. So therefore, Su Lo Hajra Lachad Minahu, she may not go back to any of these husbands. De Lo Asimion Da Achar Levatule. Ula makes an interesting suggestion. Ula says the case over here of where the miyun of one husband will not be mevatel the get of the other is a situation where she had three gittin, three marriages that ended in get. Well, you know, once you've had three marriages that ended in get, you have the appearance of a gedola. Once you have the appearance of a gedola, then that's the case in which the miyun of one marriage will not undo the get of another. But when we say undo the get, what we mean, understand in that case is what? Is lemaisa, again, that the miyun in a subsequent marriage will not allow you to go back to the first husband. But in a case before there were three consecutive gittin, she doesn't have the appearance of a gedola. In that situation, Einachinami, the get, a get given to, or I should say differently, in that case, before there are three gittin, then the miyun of a subsequent marriage will in fact allow her to go back to the previous husband, even if that first marriage ended with a get. So the Gemara says, Man Tana, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. So who is the Tana? Who is the Tana in the following opinion? My dichsev, mimina, mem, excuse me, who's the Tana who quotes Tana? I'll say the Gemara over here is going to quote. Is going to quote from the pasuk in Eicha, Meimenu bekesef shasinu. We ate, right? We drank our water with kesef, meaning we had to buy, we had to purchase our drinking water. Etsenu bemechir yavo. We only were able to purchase wood, again, with a price. So what is this referring to? Bishas ha-sakana nispak shahalacha zu. So I'll say, in the time of danger, they asked the following halacha. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Bishas ha-sakana shenigzar shelo yasku b'torah. So we'll say, in a time of sakana, where there was a gzera that we are not permitted to learn Torah, so they asked the following question. The reason they're quoting this pasuk of bekesef shasinu, Rashi says aide schirus lamanu. The Gemara is quoting this pasuk in Eicha to reference the idea that we had to pay money to drink our water. Water is a reference to Torah. That there were times of sakana where, in order to be able to get proper psak halacha, we had to pay people in order to undertake very dangerous missions to be able to ascertain proper piske halacha. So what's the case? So b'shas ha-sakana spak shahalacha zu. The following question came up. Harei she'yatza mirishon beget. If she left her first husband with a get, this is talking about all by kitana. U'mishini b'miyun. And she left the second husband with miyun. Ma'u she'tachzor l'rishon. Is she permitted to return back to... Is she permitted to return back to the first husband? So this was the kasha. Sachra adam echad ba'arba meos zuz. So they hired someone for 400 zuz. V'sha'alu es Rabbi Akiva beveisa asurin. And they went to ask Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was incarcerated by the Romans at this point in time. And they went to ask Rabbi Akiva again while he was incarcerated. V'asar. And Rabbi Akiva said that it's asar. That it's also meaning that once you go ahead, once husband number one divorced her with a get, even though marriage number two ended through miyun, she may not return to husband number one. Es Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira ben Netziven, and they asked Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who was not incarcerated, he was in Netziven, va'aser, and he also said it was aser. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, lezu lo hitzrachnu. You didn't have to go through all of this trouble to get this psak halacha. Le'iser kare sitarta, le'iser lav kol shekein. So we'll say, so Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Yossi says, I don't understand. If for an Isser Kares, look at Rashi, the Isser Kares, Isser Ishes Ish, Hafkasa Mimenu below get, Ama Ein Ma'asa Shalaklum. So we'll say, it's interesting. Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Yossi says like this. He says, if at the end of the day, Miyun is enough to remove the Isser of Ishes Ish, if Miyun is enough to go ahead and say that she's no longer married and you're going to permit her to go ahead and marry someone else, then it goes without saying that what? If it's enough to make her an Ishes Ish, that's enough to say that she can go back to husband number one. So meaning, here you have Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Yossi saying, I don't understand what Rabbi Akiva says that it's usher. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir says that it's usher. If miyun is enough to get her out of the marriage to allow Ishes Ish to marry someone else, then of course it's enough to allow her to remarry her first husband as well. Right? We'll stop over here. We're stopping in the middle of something. The Gemara says lo kol shekin baram kachsho. So we'll see that there was actually a different version of the question that they asked. Rabbi Kiva in Jar Rabbi Yehuda Meseira. Begin above said we end off still in the middle of this sugya here of trying to ascertain and understand what is the status when you have a marriage that was dissolved by a get and a second marriage ultimately dissolved by miyun. So again, does the fact that the second marriage dissolved by miyun allow her to remarry husband number one? To be continued tomorrow, Amir Tzah Hashem.